Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
What's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Appreciate everybody joining in. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody following along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that and watching along, subscribing to the YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done that already. This is where truck drivers can connect and get things done. You know, learn about the industry if you don't know already. You know, and you know, some of the best things is, hey, truckers know everything. Some of the worst things is truckers know everything. So follow along here, Redneck and Eyes. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And don't forget to thank our great sponsors. One of the sponsors I'd like to thank this week is DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. They're the guys that, if you need your particulate filters, if you got some kind of like diesel particulate filter, you know, the DPF system, you need it cleaned, take the filters out, overnight it to DPF, and then they'll clean it in their clean lab and then send it back. You know, if you ever go to these shops and they say, yeah, we'll clean that filter for you, first off, they're not going to want to clean it. They're going to want to sell you a new one because they'll tell you, you just can't clean it. And a lot of people will say that. You just can't clean them. It's better just to buy a new one. Well, them things are expensive. Cleaning them is very cheap. But if you go there and they say, yeah, we'll clean it, you go look at their little thing that they use to clean it, and it's like a little box. It's like an oven. They cook it, and they spray it down or whatever. Some of them they got are so fancy they're all automatic. But, you know, it's kind of like a dishwasher. You can't put a really dirty dish in a dishwasher. It's not going to clean it. You're going to have to clean it a little bit first before you put it in. If you truck drivers don't know that out there, that's what dishwashers are for, cleaning dishes. So in these particulate filters, that's all they do is that they won't clean it all together because these are automatic systems that they're not well maintained and they're in a dirty shop. So anything that they, you know, are around, it's always dirty. These DPF regeneration, this is a lab and it's the actual clean facility where they'll go out and clean it. And it's a system. It's a method. They've got people watching it and it gets it done. And then they overnight it back to you and you got a clean filter almost as good as new. But they do sell new ones too. So give them a call. And if you're having a hard time finding maybe the size that you need, any kind of filters, mufflers, anything like that, exhaust systems, they got, what do you call it, EGR coolers. They got charge air coolers. They got the SCR systems. If you've got DEF unit and you need parts for that, they've got stuff for that too. So check it out, dpfregeneration.com. Make sure you let them know that Redneck and I's sent you over there, and we appreciate all their support at DPF Regeneration. So I was following along, you know, things going on in the world today, and I try to keep up with everything. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. I try to focus on, you know, what's going on out there. And what I was trying to figure out is, you know, hey, what's going on in trucking that's like a big deal? Like, are we over everything right now? Are we focused on anything? And there's not really anything going on as far as like, you know, big news legislation or anything. There was American Trucker Appreciation Week, the Driver Appreciation Week last week. And, you know, you get some free stuff, you get a free meal, you go get, check out some barbecues or whatever like that. And that's great. That's all fine and dandy. You know, a lot of me, I mean, I'm one of the things like, you know, if you want to appreciate me, you know, then pay me more money all year round. You know, that's the best way to appreciate somebody is to take care of them so that they can take care of their family and them and their responsibilities. So that's the kind of thing I've always pushed to carriers is, you know, you don't have to have a barbecue. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that say that's pretty cool, but you could still have a barbecue and still pay your people good. In fact, you probably get more out of them if you pay them better. So if your company out there is not paying very well, you know, just let them know. You know, you see sometimes there's a lot of companies that probably don't pay very well, but they always have these extravagant parties where they try to celebrate, you know, drivers and everything. So just go check that out when you do your research. And it's not what I would say. The one thing I'll tell you, if you are looking at switching companies or if you're looking at getting into trucking, don't go off what people tell you. Okay. Get them to show you. And I'm serious about this. Okay. And truckers out there in the country out there, you just got to find which ones are feeding you a bunch of crap and which ones are telling you the truth. And right now, if somebody came up to me and they're thinking about getting into trucking and they want to do what I do, I'll tell them flat out, you're not going to get my job because it goes to experienced drivers only if you're not experienced. But if you are experienced and you want to work for the company I work for, I don't know about any other company, but I'll tell you what I'm making. I'll show you what I'm making. Okay, I'm not going to lie to you because I've been lied to. I've been told, you know, you can do better at this company or that company, or you can do better doing this job or that job. And in some people, they do great. You know, if there's certain jobs, they do great. Some people, they work for a carrier that pays them really good, but it's maybe they don't pay like, you know, and you know, everybody's talking about, hey, you know, money is kind of an issue. Money is an issue when you're trying to talk to people like friends or family that you might not be in the best relationship with. And you're trying to say, you know, somebody that doesn't have a really good job and you tell them that you have a really good job making money. Next thing you know, they're, you know, they don't like you anymore because they think you should be paying for everything. It's like, no, I ain't paying for everything. You know, so that's one of those things that you see out there. So we have to watch out for that. When you're talking to a stranger and that stranger says, you know, how much, can I make any money? You know, I'll tell you, I'll show you, you know, I'll pull it up and I can pull it up on my phone and show you. So I say truck drivers out there, if you're out there talking to drivers and or other people that are thinking about getting into the business or switching jobs or going to work for a carrier, you know, the best recruiting tool is showing them the money. This is what you can make. Okay. And I'll say, and it's not going, and you know, you got to tell them, you're not going to make me any money. You know, a lot of the people I say that are getting into trucking, that are like going to be going to truck driving school, I tell them this: the first year of trucking is going to suck. You're going to not be happy at all. You're going to always wonder if you made the right decision. Okay, because you're going to make mistakes. Those mistakes are going to cost you time. Time is money. Or you're going to make mistakes and you're going to get charged for those mistakes. You know, you might have some type of problem where you misplace some tools that you were given. You got to pay for those. You got to replace them, whatever. Or you might be in a situation where freight gets damaged, you know, or you're going to get a ticket for doing something that you probably didn't know you weren't allowed to do, you know, stuff like that. So just know that your first year it's going to suck, because you're going to, you know, and if you go through the first year without making a mistake, then you just need to sit back and wait for the time bomb to go off, because it's going to go off. Okay. Today I was just, you know, moping around the internet, looking at stuff, trying to keep up with what's going on out there. And of course you slip on these little videos, and Albert Einstein had a little saying that if you know anyone that doesn't make a mistake, that's someone that's doing nothing, because that's what mistakes are made. So what he was doing, he was teaching a class, Albert Einstein was, and he came in there and he started writing on the board, and he said 9 times 1, 9 times 2, 9 times 3. And he went all the way up to 10, and when he got to 10, he said 9 times 10 is 91. So all the answers were correct except the last one. Well, all the students started laughing and snickering and thinking, you know, that's silly. You know, what'd you do that for? You know, that's stupid. You made a mistake, and you wrote that on there. And how could you be a professor in this smart class that, you know, that's crazy. You're stupid, you know, and everything. And then he made a note that, you know, the funny thing is that I answered all the other 9 problems, I answered all those correctly, but you didn't congratulate me on those 9. You only made fun of me and laughed at the one mistake I made. So it's like, even a successful person that makes one mistake is going to be ridiculed for it. So when you don't make mistakes, it's kind of like, you know, you're not trying, or you're not, you know, you're just not out there doing anything. So you will make mistakes, and it's always, you know, what are you going to do about them? You know, how are you going to fix them? So that's what I say. Just like right now, I can't figure out why my computer's not working right. So a couple of things we have problems with, and we're just going to have to make do. That's the way it is. So yeah, don't forget to go check us out at at redneckandeyes.com. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in. It's a radio show, and we do it for an hour, and we record it on Zoom and get it on YouTube for everybody to see, and we hope everybody is following along and watching and having a good time. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We got great videos over there talking about four-wheelers getting down the road, teaching four-wheelers how big trucks drive so they understand when we do something, they know what we're doing. It's one of those things. So it's like one of the big things is space management. You know, don't get back there and tailgate the trucks. Well, if you're in the left lane going to pass a truck and you dilly-dally him because you think that you're scared of that truck, back off, get around them. The truck driver is really, I mean, you back there behind them like that, it creates a problem because they're watching you, wondering what you're going to do, and they can't focus on anything else. You know, it's harder for them to focus on anything else. And you got to just get around it. Go get on it. Increase your speed. You know, if you're taking too long, most of all, if you're back there by the trailer tires can go. And a lot of times a truck could run over something on the road. Maybe the tire just goes bad in the heat. You know, truck tires can go, and that's flying debris that's going to get all over your car. And it can cause big damages. It can break something off the truck, fly and hit you, cause an accident. You know, just stuff like that you need to be aware of. Get around the truck. Get away from the truck. I was talking to a safety guy from one of the bigger carriers, and they invited him to go on the radio, like one of those national radios on Sirius XM. And he was like, that's so stupid. Why would I do that? And he's like, and they're like, I was like, why? And he goes, well, for one thing, people are going to call in and ask them about, you know, certain situations. So what are they going to do? He says, well, what do I do if a big truck? Get away from them. Well, what if I do if I come up with it? Get away from them. That's what it is. Get away from the big trucks, okay? If you're going down the road in the middle of the night and a trucker should be in the right lane, hopefully they are, and you're coming up on them and maybe you're going slower, then it's going to take you a little bit to get around them. Maybe you're going just a little bit faster than they are, so it's not like, just go ahead. If you got room, if you got time, if there's plenty of space, if there's no other cars, get over in the left lane, get away from that truck, get on it, get down the road, let the truck the trucker should be traveling in the right lane, nice and smooth, and you can just go around them. Look around, see what the truck sees. The truck driver, he's in the right lane. He's focused on what's on his right side and what's in front of him and what's on his left side and what's behind him and what's in front of him or what's below him, what's above him. You got low bridges. You got debris. You never know. The truck driver in the system that we're taught as truck drivers is to look out for everything. And, of course, space management, looking ahead, you know, always looking out for deals. So what they're doing is looking for trucks or emergency vehicles on the right side. And when they do that, they need to be able to get over. So you need to focus on that too. If you see a big truck in the right lane coming up on another big truck or another vehicle in the right lane going a little bit slower and you're fixing to pass them, just get on it, get around them so they can get on over without backing off too much. That's the best. And we talk about that on YouTube. We talk about turning. We talk about getting on and off the off ramp, you know, those kind of things in the interstates and all that stuff. So take a look at that YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And let's get going here. This is Redneck and I's Radio, and we're here until 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's 6, what is it, like 6:15 on the Central Time down here in South Texas. That's where I'm at. So check us out, RedneckandI's.com. This is 515-602-9731. Redneck and I's Radio.
Wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right. I don't see a cop inside. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are open wide. Just passed a Jimmy and a white. I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. It really seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. The ICC is ticking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my log's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge on the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little low, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack and the smoke's pulling back as cold. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
make a living watching everybody else having fun. Well, I don't miss much if it happens on the dance hall floor. Mercy, look what just walked through that door. Well, hello, C-R-O-U-G-L-E. Tell me what in the world you doing L-O-N-E. Well, I say, hey, good L-O-O-K-I-N-G. Well, I spell P-R-O-U-G-L-E.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is it with Renegonized Radio. We're back here. It's Monday. What is it? September 19th. Check us out, renegonized.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. You can call in right now and chime in on what's going on out there with you. 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one or you can listen along. We're also on YouTube. Appreciate everybody doing that. And following along. What do we got over here? There we go. Cool deal. So, yeah, everything's going great. So the big thing that I did this weekend is, of course, watch the Cowboys. Everything was doing great there. We had a good time. And, of course, I'm one of those, let's not lose our heads here, okay? It's just one game. And, you know, it's early in the season. That's the other thing, too. We always had to do, if we do good early in the season, oh, this is it, this is it. Okay, listen, you know, week 9, week 10, okay, you start getting excited. All right, you're getting halfway through, but no, not right now. No, it's too early, way too early to get excited. It's a good win. It's great. I appreciate everybody's enthusiasm, but I'm not thrilled. Okay. I am thrilled that the backup quarterback is playing well, and I hope he continues to do that. Who was it? Tony Romo was calling the game, which is funny. It's just humorous to me. And, of course, Tony Romo, you know, he's a really good, like, analyst. He knows the game really well. He's not a winner. We know that, right? He's not that special kind of winner like a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady especially or anybody like that. You know, Roethlisberger did better than him. You know, all those guys. But he's very skilled in identifying, you know, patterns in the game with all that. It's very, you know, if he had a better coach, better players around him, you know, if he was in a team like maybe the Patriots where they had a great receiving core and they went out and had a really great offensive line. You know, it was funny that you talk about the Cowboys. They never really, you know, I mean, I agree. Tony Romo didn't really have a good crew around him. He didn't really have a great defense, anything like that. But he still made mistakes. You know, he's not a crunch time guy. He's not one of those guys that he's very reliable in the, in the late games, you know, when you're down or when you're driving or when you're trying to hold on to a tight lead, you know, last minutes of the fourth quarter, he's just not, you know, he doesn't get that excited about that stuff, or he doesn't focus on, you know, his progressions or whatever. He's just not that, he's not that kind of person. That where, you know, step up, you know, he's not that. I mean, even in his interviews, when he would do interviews after the game, he's like, oh, it's hard. It's hard to win in the NFL. Yeah, that's why you make $10 million a year. It's supposed to be hard. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? But it's so what happened was that he was calling the game, and every time that the backup quarterback, what's his name, Rush, he would do stuff. He would do stuff pretty nice. He would make completions and all that stuff. And or not make any mistakes and that kind of thing, you could tell what Romo was seeing and he was showing it is that there was a lot of receivers that he was throwing to that was complete. He was completing passes, and when he let the ball go, when he threw the ball, the receiver was covered. It's just that and the receiver, like, hey, I didn't even make their turn yet or wasn't even looking for the ball yet. It's like he's made these NFL moves where you just know. You know, that's the route you run. As long as a receiver, you know, it's kind of like Peyton Manning always says, you run your route, you do your job. You know, Tom Brady said the same thing. Peyton Manning says it. Bill Belichick says it. A lot of these, you see these coaches, you know, you think they're a bunch of jerks, but all that, as long as you do your job and, you know, just like coaches, if coaches say, if I tell you to run this route and you run it the right way, I show you to, it's going to be successful. And that's what happened, is that you see when the receiver ran the route, they're like still covered, really hadn't made their turn yet or haven't even started looking for the ball yet. The ball's already in the air. By the time the receiver makes his cut and looks, there's the ball. You catch it. He's open. You know, it's one of those things where I remember coaches and commentators used to talk about it, where you see a lot of quarterbacks, they won't throw to the receivers because the receiver's covered. Well, the reason he's covered is he's like in the NFL, they always say that, you know, if you could see the receiver's numbers, he's open. Doesn't even matter. You know, it's like there's a lot of times you see the defender right on his tail or right there next to him. You know, that's open in the NFL. You know, there was one. Who was it? Oh, yeah. No, it was. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. A.J. Green, the receiver, really good receiver. I think he's getting older now. He's not like the top dog. I'm not real sure. But the quarterback, I mean, No, I'm sorry. That's not who I was talking about. It was Arizona. Yeah, I remember Arizona. They had to make a 2-point conversion to tie. And quarterback Murray, I mean, he just kind of stood back there and he's like, "Hey, go to the left a little bit." And the receiver started running to the left, and all of a sudden, I mean, right through the defenders. There was no way that anybody. I mean, that was a hard throw. And he went right through the defenders, actually knee level, and the receiver just went down and caught it as he was going down, and it was brilliant. It was amazing because I mean, technically he wasn't really open, but he was like, boom, you know, that's the NFL right there. That's what's amazing about it. That's what I love about it, is they do great things like that. You see, how do they do that? How did that happen? You know, watch some of the Baltimore Ravens, the guy, what's his name? Is it Jackson, the quarterback for the Ravens? He had a big run, and it's like amazing. It's like he was back there and everybody's blocking, everybody's going trying to get to him and everything, and it's never got touched. Boom, gone. It's like, how did he do that? You know, I mean, those guys aren't idiots, those guys aren't slow, but he just ran right by them. You know, they didn't even know he was there. So yeah, stuff like that. I love the NFL when they do stuff like that, and that's what I want to see. I don't care, you know, I don't care how much money you make. You know, I'm not buying anything anyway. You know, I bet you about every 3 to 5 years I might buy a hat or a t-shirt. I mean, I even shopped around for an actual jersey, and I think I bought something like a knockoff, like from a website in China. I don't think it's cowboy approved, but I don't care, because I don't care. You know, everybody's like, you know, oh, it gets us authentic. I was like, who cares? You know, people wear $80 jerseys, $150, $200 jerseys to the football games and eat chili dogs and drink beer and spill stuff on them and all that. It's like, what? I can go online and I can get the same jersey for like $20. You know, who cares? You know, I don't know. It just don't make no sense to me. But anyway, I love to watch football. I love it. It's great. The NFL Plus sucks, just so you know. And that's all I got to say about the NFL. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got to say about the NFL. Is the NFL Plus sucks. I love watching it on TV. I watch it online. It was on Amazon Thursday night, so you know, no big deal. Just, I don't know. Just got to get access to it. You got to pay for cable to get it, to get Monday Night Football. It's still on ESPN. But truck drivers, a lot of times, you know, Sunday Night Football, you pull up the rabbit ears or you have that antenna hooked to your truck and you can kick back and watch Sunday Night Football in the truck. That's always a great thing. And that's what we do. So yeah, check it out. Like I said, this is Renekanize, renekanize.com. Go check out our website. Let's see. Boom. This is a good riff. Awesome. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Before going any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And drivers, I know some of their drivers. and they're drop dead busy, they say. So check them out. This is it right here. You can see them right here. This is where are we at. There we go. Here you go. See? Some cool trucks. Great looking logo. Great. Just but good bunch of people over there. So go check them out. LTRtransportation.com. They, you know, they do a lot of over the road and they do special handling. They got lift gates. They got reefers. A lot of that special stuff like that. So go check them out. Like I said, you can give them a call down here. I got the number right here. It is 720-277-0030. Like I said, go check them out at LTRtransportation.com. That's load to ride transportation. So yeah, go check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. We came together as a small group of truckers that had the idea to share common sense knowledge of what it takes to be a do-it-yourself trucker. We also have a goal to educate the American public on how to operate safely around big trucks. So, you know, do-it-yourself trucker, what are we going to talk about? What does that mean? And it's kind of like just handle your stuff, man. Take care of your business. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do as a truck driver. You don't have to go to the shop and have a mechanic replace a mud flap. What I did is you know, and you learn this. It's not like you have to do it right away. It's like you learn it over the course of, like, between the first 5 years of being a trucker. You know, like, I had a toolbox. I also had a box that had, like, lights and fuses and, you know, different connections and plugs and all that kind of stuff. And you just learn that stuff, right? You pick it up. But also, I had, like, a little box, and it was like a kit. And it had, you know, strippers and needle nose and crimps and wire cutters. And like the heat sink that you put on the wires to protect them and all that stuff like that. And it's one of those deals where it protects the, you know, that's the stuff that we put on to protect the wire from to keep it from getting torn up or anything like that. But you keep all that stuff, you acquire it, you learn where to buy it and all that stuff like that. And that way, if something happens to a trailer or even your truck, you can get in there and you can fix it without having, you know, an issue with, you know, making sure all your lights work. You know, and all that stuff like that, and making sure your mud flaps are on, you know, making sure your tires are good, you know, get you a good, one of the things I learned is that they make the big truck tire gauges, and they can be calibrated, and you pop into any, especially any Speedco that does tires, and you tell them, can you calibrate this for me, and they've got the big dial on their air stuff, and they know what the pressure should be, so you pop it in, and you can calibrate it, and there's a little dial on your tire gauge, because a lot of times the tire gauges, they go bad after a while. You know, you especially if you pay like $10 for the cheap one. You know, the nicer ones, they're only about $25 or $30, and some, you know, I bought mine at the truck show, so stuff like that. You know, that to learn how to just take care of your stuff for yourself, don't have to worry about calling. Even if you're a company driver, you know, the biggest problem is what we see is that truck drivers are delayed. Time is money when you're a truck driver. And truck drivers get delayed and they lose money. And they're like, well, I don't have to pay for the repair. But you're still costing you. It's still delaying you. I mean, even if you got paid by the mile, not by the hour, your job is, you're still at your job. So if you're like a local driver and you get home every day, well, you got home late. Your family doesn't want that. You want to be home on time. So you don't want to get delayed. Stuff like that. Take care of stuff like that. You know, learn how to deal with things while you're out there driving around, so that when it time comes to, you know, make money or get time off, you can. So that's what we're trying to figure out is to help drivers do that better. So yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is taking care of stuff. Do it yourself. You know, don't get caught up with all that stuff about, you know, waiting on breakdown or going to the shop and waiting on the shop and all that stuff like that. That's just not, you know, it's not how it is. So yeah, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live, 515-602-9731. And back in a second, check it out.
Hang by the pool. It's your mind. We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Everybody, hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live 7 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. You can call in at 515-602-9731, be part of the conversation, or just listen along. If you're going down the road and you can't, you know, YouTube's not your thing, like I say, you can call in 515-602-9731, just listen. Or if you want to chime in, just push 1 and you can chime in, you know, talk about whatever you want to talk about or talk about what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. Check us out. It's Monday. It's September 19th, and Driver Appreciation Week was last week. Our company here, I work for, they sent out some vouchers and stuff like that. But what was really cool is that our supervisor, he got with his family, and they gave us gifts. So it was really cool. We got a T-shirt. It was made, you know, with the company logo and everything like that. It was really cool, and I like T-shirts, especially long. It was long sleeve. I love long sleeve shirts. I can wear riding. That way you don't get sunburned. So you wear long sleeve shirt riding, and you know it's always more comfortable. And especially in the wintertime, gets a little cold, chillier or whatever. You know, down here in South Texas, it doesn't really get that cold. But when the sun's out, man, you want to get out riding, and long sleeves are awesome. So went on a ride this weekend. There was a charity. It's called Heroes on the Water, I think it is, and. It's called Bikes on the Bay is what we did, and it was a poker run, went around the bay. So if you're familiar with the Corpus Christi area, you know, there's a ferry out there by the Aransas Pass. And that right there is one of those where, it's a small little ferry. It's not that big. What we did was we get a lot of shipping containers and then oil rigs that come in, barges and a lot of stuff that come into the bay. And, I mean, it's a good shoot, man. I bet you that straight shot from the pass to the actual port is, 30 miles? Maybe not quite that much, but once they pass into the bay, they got another little good trip. And by boat, it's probably an hour-long deal to get from the bay, from the pass to the bay, or to the port, I mean. So we started in near downtown Corpus, and you ride out to they got Flyer Bluff, which is a little area out there where they've got a Naval Air Station. And then you go out to the island that's where the actual beach is. And you can make stops along the way. There's a little country road that goes out to what they call Port Aransas. And I tell you what, that's a great little town. Stopped there 2 times, kicked back, and then crossed over the ferry into Aransas Pass. And then you go over toward Ingleside and Portland and all that, and it's a good little run. It's about 60 miles all the way around, but we make stops along the way. It's a poker run, so you stop, get your card signed and tagged, and you draw a card, and the best hand wins, and the best hand won $1,200, and it was really cool. It's always a lot of fun. There's a lot of people do it, and they stop, and you know you gather around. I gave out a lot of Redneck and Eyes poker chips and stickers, and even Biker Lives Matter. If you guys aren't familiar with the GDP project of biker safety, and that's Biker Lives Matter, really awesome group of people there, and that's cool. It's a cool logo, cool T-shirts, and it's spreading biker safety, biker awareness. Look out for motorcycles. So that kind of thing. It was a lot of fun, and we had a great time doing it, and look forward to doing some more. And I wanted to get more video and stuff so I can share it with everybody, but know, it's hard when you're out riding and like that. So we'll get to work on that so we can do better at that. So I love riding. You know, we say that we, as truck drivers, we drive to live, but we live to ride, and it's awesome. So we have a lot of fun doing it. And the Redneck and Eyes is a big supporter of that. So get out there and get it done. This week, starting Thursday night, is going to be Truckers for Hope Truck Show, September 23rd. That's Thursday. September 24th is Friday, and September 25th, right? No. 23rd is Friday. In fact, you might see it pop up here. I'm going to check the calendar. Yep, 23rd is Friday. So September 23rd is Friday. September on Thursday night is when you can get into the show. You can get in and you can park. And then starting Friday morning, everything's going. I mean, it's like if you want to be part of all the festivities going on, you need to get there Thursday night, because that's when the stuff starts. Like they do, I think they're doing a convoy. In fact, here you go. We'll click on it right here and get right here. I mean, here's it. Vendor arrival setup is from 9 a.m. Thursday. And then camper arrival and parking starts 9 a.m. And then there's a truck convoy at 6 p.m. on Thursday. So Thursday, the show's going, man. We're doing it. And then that day, I mean, like all day Friday is when everything hits off. You see that. Monster truck rides, truck parking's available, animal display, like a petting zoo and all that, 4x4 show. They got the semi-drags, pickup drags, UTV drags, cornhole tournament starts at 7 p.m. And then Long Haul Paul will be in concert starting at 7. And then at 9 p.m., Tony Justice. And that's a great lineup there. That's good times. And then on Saturday, all the stuff again, everything. Dino, I mean, the only thing I know about when they put Dino on there, they're going to test horsepowers on certain vehicles. That'd be awesome. You know, I wish I'd take my bike up there and put it on it. Cornhole tournament again, all that kind of stuff. Semi-pool, semi-drags, light show at 8 p.m., fireworks at 8:15, and then at 9 p.m., Little Texas. That's awesome. And, of course, Sunday, look here, church service, 10 a.m., and then after the service, they're going to have music on stage. That should be 2 p.m., probably. I don't know. And, of course, at 2 p.m., Bull Ride Mania on Sunday that afternoon. So a lot of stuff going on, man. That's up there in the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. That's up there on Interstate 80 up by State College. And check them out at truckers4hope.com. If you see that right there on YouTube, truckers4hope.com. And you'll get access to the website to find out, you know, all the details about how to do that. And that's this week. That's starting Thursday evening, and then all day Friday, all day Saturday, and most of the day Sunday. So check them out. Like the truckers4hope.com. Redneck and I's will be there. I won't be there personally, but Redneck and I's will be there. They'll be passing out, making their way around, passing out stuff, free stuff. We got some free stuff to give away, maybe some drawings that where, you know, it's just, We'll find out. We'll get it handled. We'll have a truck representing Redneck and I's in the truck pool. So gonna have a lot of fun doing that. We'll talk about that more with the crew that's gonna be there. Hopefully they'll be able to call in. They're probably all busy getting ready for that. So check it out. RedneckandI's.com is the place to get most of the details. So we're all having a great time. And yeah, one of our great fans, Chris, following along on YouTube. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much. How's it going out there? And I'm getting ready to get out of here. It's almost time to get to work. So yeah, everybody having a great time out there. We're just getting things done. Not much going on, like I said, in the trucking news. California is still having their problems out there with all of their AB5 stuff. And then there was a train, like the railroad workers were threatening to strike, but that was averted. President Biden gave in on all that stuff. And Ben Shapiro said it best, you know, the most corrupt thing in the country today is public sector unions, where the unions work for government agencies, or they work for, you know, you got pilots union and you got a railroad workers union. They might not work for a company that's run by the government, but it is all union. So when you say a strike by the union workers that work for the railroad, it's every single one of them. And, you know, there is no railroad company that's non-union. And so everybody shuts down, so the rails shut down. And that's part of what makes America run. I mean, just imagine if every single truck driver was in the union and they all threatened to strike, all the trucks would shut down. And that's just not, you know, everybody says, oh, we need to shut down. Well, no, I don't need to shut down. I do all right. If you're not making good money, then you need to change what you're doing in the trucking industry. Same way with the rail. You know, if you feel you're not getting treated right, you want to strike, you know, be my guest, but I don't want to pay it. But the problem is the politicians, the most corrupt thing about it is that the politicians get financial support, get donations from the union. So the union works hard to get the politician elected, which turns out to be the same person that they have to negotiate with to get what they want. Well, wait a minute now. You're basically, it's like a puppet government. You're putting people in office that you can control, and then you end up negotiating with them on term. They're supposed to come back at you with like a lower offer. They're not negotiating because you got them elected. They don't care. It's not their money. That's the other problem. You know, if you're a public company, like a government agency, it's not your money that's being spent. It's, you know, if you were a private organization like FedEx has union, UPS has union. Well, UPS has an interest to make sure that they're not spending too much money on labor. So they're gonna say, no, that's not that, we're not gonna agree to that. We're not gonna agree to that and all that. And I wanna say that not every UPS facility is union. I know that there are some FedEx union, but not every facility is union. You know, that kind of thing. So it's only in certain areas, like in the blue states have unions, but the, you know, most red states, they all have right to work. Like Texas is right to work, which means that you can work for a company that union, but you're not obligated. You have the decision to say whether you want to pay those dues or not. You don't have to join the union. You can work there, but I don't know exactly how it works. Somebody want to educate me on that stuff. But what it boils down to is that I was under the assumption that if you, let's say you got hired by General Motors out of Arlington, Texas, you could turn down the payment of the dues. You could work there without having to have the union. You didn't have to join the union to work there. Like in Illinois and Michigan, you can't work there unless you join the union. And a lot of states are trying to get that to pass. You know, Ron Paul was always, he supported a national right to work law where you couldn't, you know, you could work wherever you wanted to and negotiate for your own salary yourself. And that's the way it should be. You know, what unions happen is you've heard the stories where if you went to work for a union and you were like a younger guy and you were a go-getter and you wanted to do a good job and do, you know, do more work and maybe make more money or whatever, the other union workers would not like that. They want you to say no. You know, one driver would talk about stories like that where he would always come in early. And or he would always, you know, do more, and he was knocking it out, working harder, like making more deliveries during the day. Well, he come in, and when he started coming in the mornings, his truck was blocked in by other trucks. Like they wouldn't, it was where he had to wait for other people to get there before he can go to work. So because people, they don't want him, they don't want you working hard. You know, they've got a good deal going, and they don't want you to ruin it. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you never know about that union. You know, I just don't like it. I want people to be rewarded about how well they do the job, not just rewarded by just saying, you know, I mean, a lot of times people want to be rewarded by just showing up in the morning, you know, showing up to work. You know, you should reward me for being here. It's like, no, I'm only rewarding you. I can get anybody to show up. You know, I mean, there's people right now, you know, you show up to work and expect to get paid really, really well. There's people right now standing in line at the unemployment office working really, really hard to get that unemployment. So, you know, I can get in. If I can, I can just tell people, as long as you're here at 8 a.m., I'll pay you full salary. That's easy. Okay, getting somebody to come in here and do a good job, that's the hard part. So, but that's about it for me. I think I'm going to, well, here we go. Wait a second. Is this Jeff?
Yes, Jeff. I just want to let you know I was a part of the union thing at one time. And when you go to work somewhere that is mostly union employees, I had the choice of either paying dues or not paying dues. But I was leaned on, not by the union, but by all the fellow coworkers, that if you don't join union, it's going to be pretty rough on you.
Exactly.
So I joined union, and then I used the union to get my job back one time. So, I mean, I got, you know, I feel torn between union yay or union no. But if you're not union, and this happened a lot with that job, we went on strike. It was Safeway. We went on strike. The ones who did not pay union dues said, hey, screw you guys. We're going to go to work.
Right.
Well, we had picket lines in front of these stores. And we were pretty much told we could do anything we wanted to those scabs, as they were called.
Right.
You know, and, yeah, it's that's what makes it tough. But I don't think the presence is near as what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I can say. It's gotten more and more out of hand, I think. I think it's just pushing it to a whole new limit now, especially when you...
Areas that have unions, probably so, but I don't think there's as many jobs that are union as what there once was.
No, yeah, I think it's like 12%. It's like 10 to 12% of the private sector, you know, private companies.
Right.
It's like 10 to 12%. It's what's really bad these days, like I was talking about before, is the public sector. You know, just like how the railroad workers, you know, the entire railroad system is all union. And a lot of the negotiations is with government contracts, and the government just gives in. They just give in. You know, what did they do? Like teachers unions and all that. They give in, you know, because they work hard to get the politicians elected, and then those politicians end up giving them what they want. You know, because it's not
fair. You look at the history of the railroad, and that is why the railroad unions are so strong.
Yeah,
because you know your what was the name? The big names, Carnegie and those guys.
Right.
You know, they did everything and they paid so well and gave so much to their employees to keep them out of a union to fault where they were controlled by Carnegie if they turned around or not. Well. They rebelled against that and started their own unions to control the tycoons. So wasn't so much government dictated back then as it was the big tycoons that paid off the government. You know, I mean, look at the history of the early steel workers and railroads and you can kind of see why that union is as strong as it is today.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know too much about the railroad itself, but I think that the whole thing would be that we ended up giving the government probably way too much power when it came to the railroads. I don't know. You know, it was one of those.
Came from is when the government was in trouble. You look back in history, when the government was in trouble, it was the steel tycoon and the railroad tycoon that bailed out the government.
Like I said, I don't know too much, but the there's some funny anecdotes or stories that go along with it. Like there was a TV show talking about the western expansion of the railroad going through up there where you're from, Nebraska and Iowa and all those states. And they were given government contracts to build railroad. I mean, the government's paying for these guys to build the railroad, and they're paying so much per mile. And what happened was is that you got a lot of flat land out there in Nebraska and Iowa, and so the engineers were like, you know, hey, let's just run it straight through here. And the owner of the company is like, are you crazy? We're getting paid by the mile. You need to make it more angly and turns, and I need more curves in here. And they ended up circling it through a bunch of places just because they were getting paid by the mile and it didn't matter.
And that was here again. Like I live in a town in Nebraska that used to be 20 miles northwest or northeast of where it's at now. A wealthy man came in and said, hey, railroad, we will fund 500 miles of track if you run that town by this new plot of land that I bought, and I'm going to make that town move. And that's what happened there. I mean, that's you're right. That's how those, you know, why they got so curvy. Why didn't it just go straight? They could have.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
no. Money. Money.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You see that, too.
Our history's funky.
Oh, yeah, it is. I agree with you. And I think, you know, we need to learn from that and say, you know what, we need, I mean, we have government funding from a lot of stuff. I mean, even back in George Washington days, George Washington owned a company that was given government money to expand the intercoastal highway of the shipping lanes up there through Baltimore and Maryland and what do you call Delaware and the Chesapeake Bay and all that stuff like that, where they wanted to dig trenches through coastal areas to make it harder for the British ships to attack shipping lanes, you know, out in the ocean. Because if you wanted to ship something from Maryland down to Georgia, you had to go out to the ocean and take the ship that way. They were getting attacked. So they said, let's build this highway, this intercoastal, you know, like a channel. Well, yeah, and all that. Well, then you built the down there. I mean, even down through like the outer banks of North Carolina, there's a shipping lane right there, right through it. And there's certain parts that's too shallow for the ships. So they went in there, they trenched it out. And that's what, I mean, even back in the 1700s and 1800s, you know, they were out there digging trenches in the water to make it deeper, and that was a government deal. So yeah, we've always had government intervene with stuff like that, trying to make our stuff. But
Erie
you know,
Canal was the first interstate highway, and it was a canal built on the river.
Yeah, and that's and that's another one like Chicago. Chicago, you're talking about getting freight, shipping freight from Chicago going through the Great Lakes. I mean, that's a big deal right there. That's a lot of stuff moving through there, and you're talking about like you said, Erie. And Lake Michigan and all that stuff like that. So, yeah. Yep.
Well, I just want to say, you know, we think we got our problems and we have our problems with trucking and government in the United States right now. If you do any study, and now that the Queen is dead, some of the stuff that's coming out in England, they ain't having it so easy either. I mean, there's a lot of Englanders that now that this monarch is over with, we don't need a monarch. We don't need a monarch no more. You know,
yeah,
they're going to see some changes going on there. So
yeah, I agree with you. Especially when, you know, her kids, I mean, you know, Charles is probably the best one, and he ain't so perfect. And then his kids.
Oh, shit, no. He started it all out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was chosen to be married to somebody. Well, Princess Diane was kind of chosen, but he was chosen for somebody and a marriage prior to that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was no. And so they picked out Diana, and they were in love. It was convenient. They made it happen because she was a duchess and that there. But then this little stink came in the middle, said, no. And you know.
Well,
and
I'll tell you this right now.
Now she's queen. The whole time they've been dating,
yeah,
and
no,
now
I
married,
agree.
They still own two separate houses. They don't sleep together still. It's weird.
Well,
I don't know if they're going to come together at Buckingham or not.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. If you look at the history of, you know, William or what's his name, Charles and Diana. So, William, the old boy. Okay, that's Charles's boy, probably more than likely. But that the younger one, what's his name? I forget.
Harry.
Now. Harry. That is not Charles's boy. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
No, it's Camille's boy.
No. That's
huh?
No.
Oh,
Harry, the redheaded boy, the idiot. Okay, he's red hair. If you okay, so what happens is that you look at Prince Charles's, or King Charles now, his like best friend that he was in the military with, that ended up being like a really close friend of both of them. You look at him and you look at Harry, and they are like dead ringer. Like, it's so it's like Diana was sleeping around too. So, you know, that kind of thing. So all that stuff. But yeah.
Well, and that's been documented. She has.
Yeah. So, still, I mean, it's just a crazy family, you know, and all that stuff. Like, I don't care. You know, today I turned on the news and they were covering the funeral. I'm like, I thought this was over with. Are we done with this crap yet? I mean, I understand it's a big deal and it's pretty cool, but put it on the internet. So if you want to go watch it, go watch it. But don't put it on TV.
I listened and glanced on it the entire length of the funeral day. Well, hey, only reason I did it is it's a one in a lifetime deal. It's history. I love history.
Yeah, you'll never see it again.
Right.
You know, they never really showed any of the videos from her when she was younger, and then now that she passed, they started showing those videos. She's pretty awesome. She said, as a woman in her 20s, she said some really remarkable things. You know,
amazing. She's been an amazing queen all the way through, and her whole monarchy's been. They said it's ironic that we're living the day we are. All of her kids and grandkids is living in sex and sin, and at one time the monarchy wouldn't approve of all that. In fact, that's how Elizabeth became queen, because her dad took over from her brother that was going to marry somebody divorced, and the monarchy said, no, you can't do that.
Exactly.
So he said, okay. He backed away, gave up his kingship. Elizabeth's dad took over, you know, and that's how she became queen. So it started out before, you know, she was even born. You know, I was like, wow. It's interesting. Hey, I'm sorry I tuned in late. I know it's past time, so I looked at my clock. I'm going, oh, my God, it's 10 minutes till 7. I'm going, I'll call in anyway.
Good deal. All right, man. I'm going to head out here because I'm going to get to work.
Yeah, I'm about done.
Sounds good to me.
Talk to you later. All right now.
Bye-bye. Cool deal. So, everybody, have a good one out there. And we'll see you tomorrow. Redneck and Eyes Radio. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget our great sponsor, Trucker Tools. Go check them out, truckertools.com. Download their app on your app store off your cell phone. Track freight, book freight, even find their truck stops, fuel stops, parking, Walmarts, whatever you need. Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Appreciate everybody listening along, following along today. And like I said, tune in, redneckandeyes.com. Send us a line. Drop us a line. Let us know you're listening. And we appreciate everybody out there. So we'll see you tomorrow. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Black Betty, spam a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, spam a lamb. Black Betty had a child. Spam a lamb, the damn thing gone wild. Spam a lamb, said a word not a mind. Spam a lamb, the damn thing gone blind. Spam a lamb, said, oh, Black Betty. Spam a lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Spam a lamb.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.